Yoga nidra is not just meant to help you fall asleep, which is how I first got introduced to it. It is something that is actually meant to be the tool to help you access who you truly are.
Welcome to another episode of Happy Brain. My name is Sean Block, and thank you for joining us as we explore the fun side to mental health by digging into those fun hacks and fun tips to make your mental health journey more enjoyable and your brain a little happier. I have a special guest today, Danielle Matthews. And let me just give you a quick background story on Danielle, because we get right into this interview. At 23, she had a traumatic brain injury. She was hit by a drunk driver and suffered a serious brain injury. And I know we try to keep things lighter on the show, but sometimes you have to get heavy to even get to the point where you can use tools and techniques. So we talk about that mindset. How do you go from having a traumatic injury or whatever challenge you're having in life? How do you get over the hump where you're willing to search and look for tools and techniques? So that's one of the topics that we have today. But for our specific tool, you're going to have to stay tuned. But we talk about a form of yoga called yoga nidra that can make your brain happier. Enjoy. I am so lucky today to have Danielle Matthews, who is joining us today and going to talk about some really important things. And Danielle, you had a very serious injury when you were young that kind of started your mental health journey. Could you tell us just quickly about that?
Yeah, well, I was hit by a drunk driver, Sean, and when I was 23, and my world went from one where I was vibrant and living a life that I really absolutely loved to one where I was stuck at home. I couldn't handle light, noise, any sort of input. I had severe pounding in my head, migraines like you wouldn't believe. And my world felt like it was crumbling. And talk about mental health. It's like the person that I had identified as was all surrounded by like how I was showing up in the world. So, you know, Danielle was the high achiever at school. Danielle was the one that was giving her time and energy to teach kids in a low-income area. Danielle was the snowboarder. Danielle was a good friend, a good sister, you know, daughter. And then all of a sudden, I couldn't do, you know, I couldn't show up and work. I couldn't hang out with people. I couldn't be the person that I thought I was. And it really, I mean, for a good solid year, and we can talk about my pivot, but I felt so lost and confused because I didn't know what my future was going to look like. I didn't know who I was without all these things. And it was intense. You know, I was dealing with a lot of anxiety. I had panic attacks regularly and depression. You know, doctors didn't have a lot of answers for me. And so it also left me feeling like not hopeful about what the future was going to look like.
How do you even get to that point, going from this lost place to even get to a point of starting to look for solutions and ways of approaching this and try to rebuild your life?
So for me, it's interesting. I was forced into a space of observation and I was pulled out of life, right? I could not be a participant in it. And so therefore I was on the sidelines observing it. And what was interesting, Sean, is I started to see people, it felt like they were on like a pattern, like this loop behavior. And I was watching family, friends, like the media. It was like pre-programmed, you know, and I was watching how this programming was then causing them to like erupt about certain situations that I'm looking at. And I see like, there was nothing charged in that situation. Like you came in with the charge. And then I started to realize, oh, Danielle, you're not immune to this either. You have these patternings and programming. And I came up with this equation, like the external world plus your internal response to it equals your reality. And I just realized like I was watching people's internal responses to what was happening in the world. And like they were creating, you know, an angry reality, a happy one, like whatever. It was an internal choice. And it took a lot for me to go from this victim mentality of like, well, this happened to me. There's nothing I can do. Like I was injured. That guy was drunk. I did nothing wrong. All that's true. But my internal response was one where I was almost giving my power away and saying like, woe is me, like my reality was awful. And so I just said, well, what can I control here? Like, how can I take my power back? And it was an internal decision. And that's what it is with mental health. Like there is a degree of, you have to realize something within you is going to need to change, because the only one that can change your life is the one you're looking at in the mirror.
Yeah.
And when I decided that, and it was a decision, and a decision is like, I love the root of that, right? Decide. It's like genocide, homicide, suicide. It's like to cut off, to kill. Like I just said, okay, no more of that. Like this is not serving me, this depression, the anxiety, it's just not. And I need to start figuring out how can I shift my internal view of what's going on so that my reality can be one where I am in a space of gratitude and happiness. And it's hard. I'm not going to sit here and tell you that it's not, but it took an internal like flip within me.
For me personally, there's a place where it's so close just being on one side or the other, being able to make that switch where you're able to like, okay, there is solutions. There is ways around this. I'm going to search for solutions to my issue.
It is. And I think, you know, I just recently wrote a book because I feel like everybody's bumping into these obstacles and challenges, and they're having these internal responses to it that are just taking over. The emotional state feels so strong. And the first chapter is all about this observation. But the second piece, and this is the most critical piece, it's about realizing that what's happening in your life is actually unfolding for you. And these triggers are actually your teachers. And it's like the world is unfolding in a way for you to realize what is unfinished within me, what attitudes, mindsets, philosophies, beliefs, pre-programming, paradigms, whatever, what's in there that's not allowing me to show up fully in my life. And it's in you. I mean, we a lot of times say, well, this happened to me, it's external, it's their fault. No, your reaction to what happened, you have control over. You know, you can decide how you want to interact, react, and be with these things. And I just said, okay, I'm learning something here. Like, this is all happening for a reason. What's opening up for me? What did I not understand before that I'm meant to get the lesson in now? And I believe our soul's journey in this life is to become more, is to realize what is within us, is to go through these challenges. Like, if the game was easy, Sean, why would we play? You know, like I think about that, and like the fun in any game, I love playing games, is the challenge. It's like, okay, I gotta like get creative, I gotta pull something else different out of me, I gotta get resources, you know, to tap into this. It's the same in life, and we take it too seriously, and we forget that it's all unfolding for our greatest good. And when you put that lens of perspective on it, and you can say, well, what's this challenge making possible for me? You know, what is unfolding within me that I'm needing to address and realize? When you can shine light on it, then you can start to manage it and deal with it. And there's so many tools out there, you know, to support us on this journey. And I certainly grabbed at a lot of them.
So we wanted to talk about a couple of those today. And one of them has to do with yoga nidra, that I know that you really, is something very important to you. And is that part of, in your book, do you talk about?
I do.
So can you just give us a little background on the importance of yoga nidra to your well-being and as a tool?
Yeah. So I'll just share my like introduction to it so people understand. And then I want to talk about that tool, and that word is so critical. So for me, yoga nidra, it means yogic sleep. It's a guided meditation between 20 and 45 minutes. Okay. So that's what we're talking about. And it takes you through awareness techniques to help you get out of the physical body, you know, pain, the thoughts, et cetera, and into the space of, you know, the truth of who you are. And the first time I did a yoga nidra, my mind turned off, and I ended up being able to sleep through the whole night, which was the first time that had happened since my injury. And I went, what is this? So then I started to use yoga nidra like throughout the day. If I was feeling a migraine coming on or an anxiety attack, I would literally go lay down in a dark room and I'd play it, and I would just listen to the guidance. And so you mentioned that it's a tool. And I think, you know, it's important to realize you won't get the most out of a tool if you don't understand what it's meant to be used for. And so I want to take everybody through a little exercise. And if you're driving and listening, don't close your eyes. But everybody else, like, just close your eyes for a minute. And I want you to just visualize yourself standing on a beach. Okay. And it's just you on this beach, and you're looking out at the horizon. It's just you, the beach, and the water. And then you start to see a boat. It's coming into view over the left side, and it's coming in through the left side of your vision, and it's starting to move through. And as it's moving through, now all you can see is this boat. It's taking up everything that you can see, but it is moving, and it's continuing to go. And now it's going on out on the right side of the vision. And now it's just you again, standing on the beach, looking out at the water. And now open your eyes and Sean's going to get to be the one to answer this question because all of you can't. Are you the boat?
All I saw was the boat.
Okay, yeah.
All I saw was this boat that was just completely encompassing my whole world.
Mm-hmm. But you were the one observing it, right? Yeah. So therefore mm-hmm. you weren't it. This is the key. So this is what the yogis say. This is what you need to realize is that you, the boat, is like your thoughts. You are actually the one there before, during, and after, say, an anxiety attack. You are the one there before, during, and after the feeling of anger coming through. At some points, it feels like you are it because it's all you can see. Just like that boat you said was taking up all of your vision. Sometimes it's like, all I can feel is this depression, this anger, this insert, you know, emotional state, but it's moving. And if you can realize, and this is the key, if you can realize that you are more than that, you have the key to unlock the truth to everything, which is that you are actually the being that is there. Think about the sky. You're there before, during, and after every storm, every hurricane, every rainbow, every, you know, blizzard. You're the sky. That's you. That's your true essence. That's what I got shoved into after my injury. I had to disidentify with all the things I thought I was. And our mind, our emotional state is with us all the time. We think it's us. It's not us. That's what the yogis call the ego. And it will ruin us if that we think that's all it is. It'll pull us on all sorts of crazy, you know, rides. But meditation, yoga nidra, was designed as a tool to help you access that observer. So you can disidentify from the thoughts, disidentify from the emotional reaction that's coming in, and you can create space. Because once you create space, you then have a choice. And what I love about yoga nidra is they tie in intention into it. And so literally when you're in the depths of the practice, down in that meditative state, you put an intention. How do you want to interact and react to life? You know, the intention I used was I am open and patient, because I thought, well, if that's how I am in life, it's going to be much better reality. And, you know, that's so powerful, because then when you come out of the yoga nidra, it's like when you go into that state, everything becomes liquidy. And you insert this intention, and then it freezes again in the conscious mind. But it's in there for you. And so that's when I say you got to know how to use a tool and what it's meant to be used for to maximize it. Yoga nidra is not just meant to help you fall asleep, which is how I first got introduced to it. It is something that is actually meant to be the tool to help you access who you truly are.
It connected with me so much, that visual of me standing on the beach and this thing just kind of just going through, mm-hmm. just going through. And I'm still there. I'm the one that's looking at it. It's gone. It's such an important visual. And I have to say, Danielle, that I'm guilty of yoga nidra for sleep. I have this app, Insight Timer, and one of my favorite meditations as a Freudian slip maybe is yoga nidra for sleep. So the one I do specifically, and it's about 20 minutes. Mm-hmm. And on a good day, I don't even know what minute five is, you know,
yes.
Right? But on a tough day, like a couple nights ago, just was really having a hard time. You know, I went through the whole body, and it's a body scan too. Is that part of it? I went through every part of my body, from my toes to my head, and just completely observed the whole experience. And now I'm connecting from what you're saying, how important that is, and you're observing. So in yoga nidra, so you can do yoga nidra for sleep, which you said was a huge tool for you.
Yeah.
And then, but how can you use it during the day? What are tips like so you don't fall asleep? You know, like
So if you're in this space, sometimes yoga nidra it puts you in such a relaxed state that you do fall asleep. And it's because that's probably what your body's needing. But what I would also say is that the state of sleep and the state of meditation, a lot of times people think they're asleep because they've lost the sense of who they were. They lost the thoughts. And so people go, yeah, no, I fell asleep. And I'm like, yeah, but when the meditation ended, you were there. So for some, right, they fall asleep, they are actually sleeping, right? What you're doing, you're actually falling asleep for the night. But for some, I would just say, take a mental note, because a good yoga nidra is designed to walk you back out of it at the end. Mm. And you'll come back and you'll go, oh my God, I slept through it. I didn't get any of it. No, you did. It's meant to be, yoga nidra is meant to be this, it's like a diving board. Like all the awareness techniques they walk you through, it's meant to be a launching point to get you down into the meditative state, which is the state where you're not quite asleep yet, but you've created distance between your thoughts. Like everybody gets into this state before they fall asleep at night. Like you have to. And that's why the yogis designed it this way, to walk you down through the same brain waves into that state, to remind the body that it knows how to do that, right? Because it's natural every single day. And then, you know, you stay in that space. And I'd say most people aren't asleep. And if you are somebody, you think, well, I definitely am falling asleep. Put your arm up, like just prop it on your elbow. So if you start to kind of go to sleep, your arm will move and it'll kind of jolt you back awake. But I would say that more often than not, the person is actually just in a meditative state.
Do you suggest we like sit up in bed? Like let's say we're doing it in bed at night. We don't want to fall asleep and we want to go through the experience. Should we maybe not even do it in bed, first of all?
You're going to fall asleep in bed.
Right. Or maybe we should be on a
comfy mat around.
Yes. Okay. I'm so excited for this tip because I'm really going to be intentional about trying to do it through the day. There's tons of yoga nidra, but for a long time, I thought yoga nidra meant going to sleep. So it's.
Yeah. Well, because nidra does mean sleep. And yes. I think it's a misconception, and you could use it in that way. Like some people, their rhythms are so off balance. They're not able to fall asleep at night, and yoga nidra drops you down into the brave waves, right? To get you down into that delta wave to help you fall asleep. So you can use it to help you fall asleep, I should say. That's okay. That's how I used it at the beginning. And you're still getting the benefit. All right. So you're still going through, like you're teaching and programming and rewiring the brain to be able to release from the thoughts. Like you're almost dispassionately watching a movie. And that is then in action, like in my everyday, it's like I live in that space where I'm not reacting to life. I'm witnessing it. And then I'm deciding how I want to respond. It's very different than someone that this shows up, boom, I'm in reaction, versus this showed up, I have the reaction. Like we all have them. It's not like anger doesn't come into my world. I get angry, but then it's, do I make the choice to engage with it? Or do I say, nope, how do I want to interact with you? Or even sadness or fear. It's not that, you know, fear doesn't come into my world anymore. It does. I just look at it and go, false. That's false. I'm not engaging with it. You know, yeah. I let it be there and I get into action anyway, because it's a choice I'm making how I want to respond to situations.
Now, we talk a lot about different techniques and mindfulness is always one of them. Is yoga nidra a form of mindfulness?
It is. It's a mindfulness meditation. Yes. It's a big umbrella and this is a type of it.
Mm-hmm. That is so important. Now, in your book, so this is part of it. Is there any other or tips or tricks from your book? We can't get into every subject today, but is there anything else that you wanted to share today?
Well, I'll just say this, you know, the book, it's free, it's an ebook, and I designed it really to help people kind of get into these truths. I think that we learn from the people that are down the path further than you. They've walked the same path as you, but they figured out some things. They can collapse time for you. That's why mentors and coaches, things like this are incredible, because it just helps collapse time so people don't have to go through the same misery that I went through. I'm like, here's the key. Like, this is what unlocked everything. Maybe it'll help unlock it for you too. But you got to be ready. And, you know, the last piece in my book, it's about, so you observe, right, that you're having these reactions. Then you realize, hang on, the stuff that's happening in life is actually to reveal these things that are within me. They're unsettled. And then you start to say, okay, well, I have control now over how I want to respond and interact and react. And once you get that down, which that in and of itself is a lot, like that's so much. The last chapter is all about creation and how once you realize that you are in control and you get to decide, you set the tone, you set the intention, you start to shape the external world. And the right things and circumstances and people will be drawn to you. And that's what happened with me, Sean. So my physical injury was still with me, even after the emotional stuff kind of released. But an acupuncturist called my mom actually, and said she'd come across a breakthrough in cell signaling, that it helps each person repair where they need it. And she believed it would pass the blood-brain barrier and help me. And it was like, there it was. But I had gotten myself into a different vibrational state where now I was operating from a space of joy and gratitude. And boom, it's like life said, okay, you passed the lesson. Like now you're going to draw in what you need. That's what it's all about. And I think when you realize and you can take it, it will empower you to realize, no, you create the world from the inside out. Don't get it wrong. Don't look for the answers outside of you. You have everything within you. You just got to realize that you're beyond that crazy mind of yours that's, you know, talking you up and down and sideways.
And this actually circles back to where we started. getting to that point where you're, like you said, you're a victim, you're in trouble, you're, everything is just not there. Getting to that point where you can accept and search for tools and techniques, and at some point be able to use these. So thank you so much for sharing that part with us. I'm going to put your ebook in our show notes, and you have so many other things in your life and other websites that are going on, and I'll make sure I share that as well. So thank you so much for taking the time today. Really appreciate it.
Absolutely, Sean. It's great to be on. And this is what I share on my social media all the time. It's just tips, like mindset tips. It's like all of us are dealing with struggles and obstacles and challenges, internal, external, and there's these little, it's like the spiritual answer to our problems. And it really, really helps. So I appreciate you inviting me on to share these tips.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Happy Brain. If you enjoyed this, make sure you hit that subscribe button wherever you listen to your podcasts. And if you have an extra second, leave us an honest review over on iTunes or your Apple podcasting app. And until next time, my friends, keep that brain of yours happy.